ABC Radio presents the 2020 Australian of the Year Awards.
Hi, this is Munjid Almadaris from New South Wales. I've been nominated for Australian of the Year.
The Australian of the Year Award celebrates the achievement and contribution of eminent Australian citizens who are role models for us all.
I feel very honoured. It is a great privilege to be put in this position. But at the same time, it's a great motivation to make me work harder and harder to achieve as much as I can for the short period that I have in this world.
After fleeing Saddam Hussein's regime in a leaking boat and being imprisoned in Australian detention centres, Professor Munjid Almadaris has become an orthopaedic surgeon specialising in reconstructive surgery. He volunteers his time to assist victims of conflict and advocates for human rights, exemplifying the contribution refugees can make.
I was living very comfortably in Iraq. I never wanted to leave the country. I was a spoiled brat, basically, with a silver spoon in my mouth. I worked in Baghdad University Hospital, and everything was fine, until that moment where everything turned upside down. One day, I was in the theatre complex as a junior resident. We were confronted with three busloads of army deserters being escorted by Republican guards and Ba'ath Party members. They ordered us to mutilating these army deserters by chopping their ears off. The head of the department refused, and they took him outside. In cold blood, they put a bullet in his head, and they turned to the rest of us, and they said, "Anyone share this man's view, come forward, otherwise proceed with our orders." I had faced the most challenging decision. Should I obey the commands and live with killed for the rest of my life, refuse and end up with a bullet in my head, or should I run away? I decided to escape. I came on a harrowing journey to Australia. I ended up in Curtin Detention Centre. The minute I entered that detention centre, I was stripped of my human identity, marked with a permanent marker on my shoulder with the number 982. When I was released from the detention centre and started working as a doctor, I moved on with my life, and the last thing I wanted to remember is my past. However, in one day, which is supposed to be the happiest day of my life, the day that I was entering the training scheme, I was faced with two of my peer. To my face, they said, "It isn't a shame that the standard of the orthopedic training scheme has dropped so low to allow a refugee to be one of us." And that was the wake-up call for me. And I remembered that I should never forget who I am. And I should never forget people that in the same situation and people that have gone through the same situation. This wake-up call made me very determined that I should fight hate. Because I'm a strong believer there is no space for hate. Australia deserve much better than that. So from there onward, I became a strong advocate for human rights, and I dedicate a significant portion of my time advocating for equality, tolerance, and acceptance among each other. We all come from different backgrounds, we all have different colours, we follow different faiths, and we are allowed to be proud of who we are, as long as we remember that we all share the same colour blood.
My name's Dr. Jeff Thompson, and I'm the Northern Territory Australian of the Year. I was quite blown away to win the Northern Territory Australian of the Year. That's pretty special, to be one amongst eight people like that in the country. I had never envisaged.
Dr. Geoffrey Thompson is one of the Northern Territory's quiet achievers with a distinguished career as a flying doctor and long history of community service. In 1975, he oversaw the RAAF effort to evacuate Darwin after Cyclone Tracy. A sports medicine pioneer, he's the chief medical officer for the Australian Paralympic Committee.
I've been a doctor for 50 years, in the Northern Territory for 40. It began when I was a young boy of aged 8. When I fell in love with aviation, as a country boy reading books about aviation. And then the next year I actually broke my arm, and I was pretty impressed with how that was dealt with. I went home to my mother and said I'd like to be a doctor. In fact, I'd like to be a flying doctor. My father was into books, and we lived in Renmark in South Australia. Within 3 days, country South Australia, he had a book for me, written for boys, about becoming doctors. We moved to Adelaide so that I could go through my amazing schooling, and I enlisted, of course, in the Air Force and, of course, in aviation medicine. And that took me in time to the Royal Flying Doctor Service in Western Australia, where for a period of time I was the medical director. many a great experience. Challenging, as I think I've never been so satisfied, but also never so scared as being a flying doctor. Been a few challenges along the way. There's been medical challenges. For instance, in one place, I'd been conducting a clinic at a place called Sandstone, which is way out in the sticks, a long, long way from anywhere in Western Australia. It was an old gold mining place. I'd done this normal clinic. At the end of the day, just as I was about to taxi to go back to Perth, the Flying Doctor Service radio crackled and said that there's a boy who'd been kicked in the face by a horse, and he clearly needed to go to Perth for emergency treatment. But his mum was a nurse, and they were in a place called Meekatharra. So it's late in the day. Meekatharra doesn't have any landing lights, but the Royal Flying Doctor Service has an arrangement with the local police to get people to drive out to the airport and line their cars up in the direction that the wind that I should land, which is into wind. So I circled Meekatharra at night in the dark, watching probably all the population of Meekatharra go out to the airstrip and then line their cars up on the airstrip, and then I landed, picked up this boy, and then, because it was a facial injury into his sinuses, I had to take some fuel out of a 44-gallon drum and put that into the plane, because when you fly low, you use a lot more fuel. And so I had to put more fuel in the plane to then fly low to Perth because of this severe facial injury this boy had. You don't forget call-outs like that.
Hello, I'm Archie Roach. I'm the Victorian nominee for Australian of the Year. Took the children away. The children away.
Archie Roach AM is a much-loved singer, songwriter and musician. He sees music as a medium for exploring issues that affect First Nations people in modern-day Australia. Today, Archie runs Ruby's Foundation, providing opportunities for young people through art and culture. He spreads a powerful message of love, reconciliation and healing through his songs.
When I was 15, I became homeless, a drunk as well. Through the years, I realised it wasn't doing me any good. The alcohol was making me sick. So I gave it away at about 26 years of age. And so I had to stop drinking, had to find a way to stop. And I did, fortunately. But it left this void, this hole in my life that I had to fill. Music was a good way to do that. So I started to write songs, country-type songs, until one day an uncle of mine, Uncle Banjo, came up to me and heard I was writing songs, and he said, "You write songs, don't you, boy?" I go, "Yeah, I dabble." He said, "Why don't you write a song about when you was taken away?" And I said, "I don't remember much about that, Unc. I was just about two." He looked at me straight in the eyes and he said, "Yeah, but I do." And I think that's why I wrote this song, Took the Children Away. We sat down and he told me a story about that day. It took me a night and a morning to write it. That's one of the reasons I wrote the song was not just about children that were taken away, but about who we were taken from. So ever since, I think the song was more about the people that were left, but also coming back to those people and finding yourself again. And that's what the song's really about, and that's what my music and songs are really mostly about, searching for oneself and what that truly means and who you really are and your place, not just in this country but in the world, because we all have a place. We all have a reason that we're here on this earth. It's a struggle for us to be born even. And so we're here for some sort of reason. I really believe that.
My name is Katrina Fanny, and I've been nominated for Australian of the Year. And we've got three boys who sometimes it's a little tough having two mums. So for them to sort of go, she's seen as not just accepted into community but celebrated, this has been for them to feel really a strong sense of pride, and it's okay to talk about our family unit a bit more broadly than perhaps they were a bit sure of before.
Following a successful rugby league and management career, Katrina Fanning, Wiradjuri woman, 2014 Canberra Woman of the Year and ACT NAIDOC Person of the Year, was appointed to the Canberra Raiders Board of Directors in 2019. Katrina is passionate about Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people creating their own solutions.
I grew up in a small country town in New South Wales called Junee, and it's one of the places where rugby league is just central to what community does and how it sort of binds itself together. Back in the early 80s, young girls playing in the boys' competition was unheard of. Took a little bit to convince the club, my mum, to let me have a go. So it wasn't until years later where I looked back and went, actually, that effort that those people made really made a big difference in my life, and I guess they lifted the ceiling off what I thought I could be. I was a little kid with, you know, some family sort of issues that were outside of my control but had a big impact on what was happening to me day to day. Early on, it was about, I want to be in charge of the things that affect me. As I got good at that, I started to realise I actually want that for everybody. And along the way, there's been so many good people, Indigenous or not, old, young men or women, who I've just been really lucky that I've travelled a path that's had so many people who've included me in that journey and helped me learn and have learnt from me that I just feel that if that young kid from Junee who sort of was really struggling with their identity and what they could be, with just that little bit of help along the way can do so much. If we could do that for a few more kids, what they might be able to do for other people. And I think that's actually, in a lot of ways, what contemporary Australia might see itself as, is that's supposed to be that mateship and that fair go. Some of my best memories of football aren't necessarily test matches. They're local girls who were naturally gifted footballers but worked really hard, and they might have scored their first try or pulled off a great tackle. And that look in their eyes of, I can do it. And being there to see someone change how they look at themselves and believe in themselves, that's one of the most powerful things you can experience.
My name is James Mukey. I'm an eye surgeon and a doctor. I've been nominated for Australian of the Year for South Australia. I wonder myself, you know, how I can keep on going. I certainly haven't burnt out. It does fascinate me that I can keep on going. And I think it's simply the results and the profound results that we see that are so exciting.
Dr. James Mukey, AM, is passionate about fighting blindness. In 2009, he co-founded Sight for All with the aim to create a world where everyone can see. His not-for-profit organisation is now impacting nearly 1 million people each year in Australia and the low-income countries of the world.
One of the most profound experiences that I had was back in 2007, and we were undertaking a study in Myanmar. Nearly half of all children at schools for the blind had blindness that could have been prevented or treated. So half didn't even need to be there. But the thing that really had such a deep impact on me and the rest of the team was the leading cause of blindness, which was actually measles. That was a very, very unsettling experience. And what it did was allow us to then encourage the health authorities in that country to train a children's eye specialist for Myanmar. So he came and spent a year working with us at the Women's and Children's Hospital in Adelaide, training to be what we call a paediatric ophthalmologist. And he returned home in 2010 as the very first paediatric ophthalmologist for the country. And we set him up the country's first children's eye unit, where he works to this day. And the impact he's made has been extraordinary. So he now provides nearly 30,000 treatments for children every year, which in itself is incredible. It's almost hard to comprehend. He then started training his own colleagues. So in 2015, he finished training the second paediatric ophthalmologist for the country, and he now trains two or three every year. So it's a sustainable approach that we have at Sight for All, which is having huge impact broadly. Often I'm asked what it's like to take the pad off a child or an adult who's had an operation and they can see again, and, you know, it's a lovely experience. But when you think of the impact that one surgeon that you've been involved in the training of, who's now providing 30,000 treatments every year, there's no comparison. It is just such an amazing, amazing feeling. And in fact, I went back to Myanmar to film a documentary about this doctor, and I must say I've rarely been prouder in my life to see the impact that he's having To see the sacrifices he's made in order to do this is quite humbling. He is one of the most impressive doctors, in fact, one of the most impressive people I've ever met. So it's wonderful to be associated with an outcome like that. He really is a superstar. But that really just gives you a sense of what it is to have that sort of outcome. It is absolutely wonderful to see this maturity in colleagues that you train, who then embrace their profession and then go on to really empower themselves and their team to go on and really fight many of these blinding conditions that they're coming across.
I'm Jess Melbourne-Thomas, and I'm a marine and Antarctic research scientist in Hobart, and I've been nominated for Australian of the Year.
Transdisciplinary researcher and knowledge broker with CSIRO Oceans and Atmosphere, Dr. Jess Melbourne-Thomas, studies marine socio-ecological systems to understand how they might respond to climate change and to inform decision-making for sustainable development. Passionate about female leadership in science, she was named Tasmania's 2015 Young Tall Poppy of the Year.
I learnt to scuba dive with my dad and my brother. Also spent a lot of time in the Tasmanian wilderness, and I think it was kind of just natural that I developed a love for those environments and followed a science career path that has led me to all kinds of exciting places, from the tropics to the poles. Well, not both poles, just to Antarctica so far. My main area of research is around the impacts of climate change in the marine environment and what we can do about that. You know, there's many changes happening already that we need to be responding to, and only by acting quickly to curb emissions and work as hard as we can to meet the Paris targets can we avoid that future where we enter the realm of dangerous climate change. And I think that future could look quite bleak. Australia has been a real leader in global efforts around conservation of biodiversity, and I believe that we can also be a leader in the climate change space, and I'm really hopeful about what that science will continue to deliver to inform how we respond to climate change. And then on a more personal level, you know, I very much hope that my kids can live in a better world and in a more sustainable way, and that's my hope more broadly for future generations, that we're able to build a more sustainable future. I am hopeful that we're approaching a point where suddenly people really all do start to change their behaviours and call for change at the decision-making level. My dear hope is that that point is coming soon.
Hi, my name's Rachel Downey. I'm the Queensland Australian of the Year for 2020. I look at the people in the past and the stage that I'm sharing people with at the moment, and I just think they're amazing. And to think that other people have thought same about me makes me teary and really humbled.
After losing a Year 9 student to suicide, Rachel Downey developed Stymie. Implemented in 2014, Stymie enables students to anonymously report harm to their peers or themselves, such as bullying, harassment, and self-harm, empowering them to use their empathy to further a culture of care in their schools.
Whilst it wasn't the first time that one of my students had actually died this way, which is a terrible thing to say, it was definitely the first time that we felt like it was preventable. After this boy died, the students came forward with what we believed was life-saving information. They told us that he had experienced family violence, that he had been terribly bullied and cyberbullied at school, and he was also the subject of something that we hear a lot at the moment, which is the, you know, no one likes you, go kill yourself kind of stuff. And I think that probably one of the biggest things that I could never have anticipated was that we also then had to deal with a community of kids who felt like that they had played a part in somebody's death because they didn't have the courage to say something. That was the catalyst for wanting to make a change. Last year, we received 40,000 plus notifications nationally, went through the Stymie notification system. I've spoken to more than 300,000 students over the last 5 years. And weeks like this week have been really busy. A notification has gone through the Stymie system about every 4 minutes every day. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is receiving emails or telephone calls from sometimes shocked or awed principals and student managers or parents sometimes. And they say, we'd like to let you know that the kids actually used Stymie to save a life today. I could only ever have imagined that the work that we do could get this kind of recognition. I really want to use it to bring light to kindness, I guess.
If you or anyone you know needs help, the number for Lifeline is 13 11 14 and the Kids Helpline is 1800 551 800. You can find Stymie at stymie.com.au.
Hi, I'm Annie Fogarty and I'm the West Australian Australian of the Year. Many of us don't understand the real dysfunction that there are in our community, even in a wealthy country like Australia, and that not every child does get the same opportunities. The more that people realise that, I think we're going to be better placed to be ensuring that every child does get those opportunities.
Annie Fogarty AM is co-founder of the Fogarty Foundation, which delivers education opportunities that empower young people to achieve their full potential. Under her leadership, the foundation provides funds and support to a range of partner organisations and drives programs to help disadvantaged children overcome barriers to succeed at school.
My husband and I really love Western Australia and we wanted to ensure that we have a strong and thriving community there. Realised that education was the best avenue for providing opportunities. Our children were just starting school and I think we take our own education for granted, but when your children are going to school you realise how important it is. And we knew that our children were going to get lots of opportunities, but we also realised that there were going to be a lot of children out there that don't get the same opportunities, and that's why we decided to focus on education. We work with other organisations and we also, where we see a need, we develop programs and across the spectrum of the community. So we work with schools in low socioeconomic communities, and that's particularly working with teachers and school leaders to enable them. It's a three-year school improvement program and it enables them to run the school as best they can to provide the best quality teaching so that their students can get great educational outcomes. We also work with really high achieving students and provide them with scholarships and a leadership program to help them to be the best leaders that they can be. Meeting and getting to know students, getting to know what their motivation is, and seeing them when they've got confidence and they've got skills, what they can go on to achieve. There is so much enthusiasm in young people, and just given the right support, they can achieve the world.
Congratulations to all of the 2020 Australian of the Year Awards nominees. Join us for live coverage of the awards on January the 25th on ABC Radio, TV and online.